Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows, Psalter 194, 1, 4, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Philippians 2, the verses 1 through 13. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Philippians 2, the first 13 verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, that is what we all stand in need of in this hour, thy indispensable blessing. Then it has pleased thee in thy great mercy and in the way of thy long suffering that thou hast granted unto us and our children the opportunity by renewal on this Lord's Day to come up to thy house of prayer. And, Lord, we humbly ask thee, may it be a house of prayer indeed. Thou knowest of self how prayerless we are. And to that end, wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit that we may feel our need aright. Our needs are manifold. The needs for the time, above all the needs for our never-dying soul. Wilt thou grant faith to believe? Then we have read, and then we have heard the confession of the church already throughout so many ages. And thou knowest of self, then we have nothing but unbelief. And to that end, we need the work of thy Holy Spirit. May we be found more beggars at thy throne of grace, and learn that thou can only answer the prayers of thy church through thy dear Son. Lord, then there are reasons that it may also be a house of thanksgiving, wherein this day thou hast granted so many blessings above most of her fellow travelers. There are those that had nothing to eat. There are those that, if not a home, must sleep under the sky in this night. Many in countries of persecution, torn asunder because of civil war, many in prison, many in institution of mercy and in hospitals, many that have lost their homes, many in distress. And then in the midst of the trials of life, then thou grantest so much unto us and our children, and then it is all deserved, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and who maketh thee to differ. Then thou wast crowned this day with thy goodness, and, Lord, the earth is so empty of thy praise. May that become our need, and may that become our guilt. Lord, thou knowest that of self, that thou shalt never receive that true praise. And to that end, we humbly ask thee that in this evening hour, that thy house may be a house of conversions. May there have been many possible that there have come up those to thy house unconverted, and that have not even asked thee that they may be converted in this evening hour. But, Lord, thou art still gathering thy church. Therefore the earth may still stand, and to that end may it please thee to bless thy word and work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old, that it may be heard, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Thou knowest how that we have come up to thy house, what has been our request, may be special requests of different souls that have come up to thy courts. For an ignorant people that do not know the way, that do not know how to be reconciled, there can be those mysterious ways in the way of grace, but also in the way of providence, and that a few souls have begged for a little instruction, that thou mayst speak a word, that their heart may be humbled. May it be a house of encouragement, a house of lifting up for those broken reeds and those smoking flaxes. Thou knowest where thy people, where they are encamped. May it be also a house where thou shalt grant precious gifts unto thy children, all those graces of love, that they may be enlivened, and that hope, that it may be revived, and that their faith, that it may be strengthened. Ah, thou knowest how the prince of Satan, that he can shoot those fiery darts, Lord. Wilt thou then be mindful of us and our children? Wilt thou grant tokens of thy favor? Wilt thou remember consistory and congregation? Bless the labors in the midst of the church, in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou also help with all the preparations, when thou granteth it in some weeks, that another school year hope to begin, it all awaits for thy blessing. Lord, by renewal, then we commend unto thee the parents whom thou wast blessed with a little child in the past week. Wilt thou further strengthen the mothers, grant the family circles a place at thy footstool. We remember all widows, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou be mindful of our elderly ones in the climbing of their years, where the tabernacle of the body shall be broken down at all points that eternity is approaching. Wilt thou remember and help them, oh, above all save their never-dying souls. Remember all under the physician's care, and then we may acknowledge thee that as far as we know, that there is not one in the hospital at the moment, that is also thy doing. May we be given to see it and give a heart to acknowledge thee. Thou knowest the cares and the fears which there can be, the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou bless the family circles, that love may abound. Then we commend unto thee our handicapped ones, difficulties of the body and of the mind, with those that may be near and dear unto them who may care for them, above all things. Wilt thou remember their never-dying souls. Then we remember prodigal sons and daughters that have left us, that are wandering in different places. Lord, wilt thou keep us and our children under the old truth and under the old ways. Oh, give us not over to discouragement. That can be such a great danger. And to that end, may it please thee to perform those wonders of free and sovereign grace, that we and our children may receive courage. Also for those who are called to labor in thy vineyard, that it shall not all be a plowing upon the rocks, but that it may bear a good fruit. Then we commend unto thee the nations of the earth. Then thou art speaking in special ways by draught, by fire, by earthquakes, by wars and rumors of war, by pestilence, then the footsteps of the king are being heard, that we are living in the latter days. May we and our children have ears to hear and hearts to perceive, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, that we may be given to cry mightily unto thee. Wilt thou also remember our nation, our province, the premier, with those that stand at a side in these difficult and trying times? Ah, may there be a bowing of the knees and an opening of thy holy word. Lord, remember thy church where it is written that the time has come that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Oh, do grant under thy solemn speaking that we may be given to repent of evil and worldly ways and be given to cry mightily unto thee. Then we remember all those that work in the medical field and in the emergency field. Remember them during the daytime and in the night watches. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? Wilt thou remember our community? Oh, may it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit, that a slumbering people, oh, a people that have left the truth, a people that have come under a deceitful religion, that the light may arise in the darkness, and that it may be heard in our community, that there may be those stirrings, oh, poor sinners, that have learned that they are standing outside, that they are lost, that they may be given to cry mightily unto thee. Oh, is there anything too wonderful for thee? Thou hast done it in the days of old. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We remember the needs in the realm of nature, Lord. Thou knowest how dry it is. And then we humbly ask thee if it may please thee. Ah, we have nothing to plead upon. The past year, thou hast given such a fruitful year. And then we are called to examine ourselves what it is wrought out. Now thou art speaking by a draught. Lord, wilt thou remember the animals, the beasts of the field? Above all, remember thy church. Lord, may our help in this evening truly be in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. May we be granted by thy Spirit to explain those precious truths. We have precious matters to speak of, that it may be explained in a simple way, that also our little boys and girls, that they may understand a little thereof even with their mind. It is necessary that it may be experienced in our hearts. Wilt thou then anoint us with fresh oil from above? Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 383, the five stanzas. All that I am I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. And what follows? 383, the five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 14, the question and answers 35 and 36. Question 35. What is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer. That God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, alike unto his brethren in all things, as sin excepted. Question 36. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer. That he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Lord's Day number 14 speaks of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two thoughts. First, the deep meaning of this birth, and secondly, the rich profit of this birth. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the deep meaning of this birth, as we find in number 35, and secondly, the rich profit of this birth, as we find in number 36. Thus first, the deep meaning of this birth. Beloved congregation, then in this evening hour, then by renewal we hope to hear of wonderful things. Then the instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, then they have brought us into the gospel house. Did not begin with that house, because in the beginning, after the introduction in Lord's Day number 1, then they have first brought us on that street called Straight. And then we were brought into different houses. In Lord's Day number 2, then we were brought into that house of the knowledge of our misery by the law of God, and then the instructors have stressed the perfection of that law. And also we have heard that what our nature is, canst thou keep the law of God perfectly? No, in no wise, but by nature I am inclined to hate God and my neighbor. Then the instructors have also brought us into the house of the origin of our sin, where the Lord has created mankind in his image, but that by willful disobedience and the instigation of the devil, we have left the Lord. Then in Lord's Day number 4, then we were brought into the house of the punishment of our sin, that God's justice and righteousness demands that each of our sins, that they be punished with temporal and eternal punishments. Then in Lord's Day number 5, it is true, we read over that Lord's Day of man's deliverance, but then we have heard that the instructor has brought us on that street into the house where there may be a bowing under the justice of God, because they read in question number 12, ascends then by the righteous judgment, justice of God. We deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there then no way that I may escape that punishment and be restored into that favor? And then in Lord's Day 5, then the instructors, they have brought us into that gospel house. And then it was declared that we needed a mediator, boys and girls. Now you remember, you know, we have mentioned at different times what a mediator is, one that stands between two parties. And then that precious name of the mediator was declared in Lord's Day number 7, that true saving faith which the Lord works in the heart of his people by his Holy Spirit is so indispensable. And now in the past Lord's days, oh, it is the same. When we go to the hospital or to the doctor, then it is our desire that not only the doctor, that he examines us and maybe gives some medicine, or when we have broken a leg or an arm, that he puts us in a cast and sends us home. But then we have a desire that that doctor will take time, that he will explain what has happened, our disease, the medicine he hopes to give, and with the blessing of the Lord that it may be healed. If the doctor would send us home without an explanation, then we would be very sad. And so our instructors of the Heidelberg Catechism, then in Lord's Day number 5 and number 6, they have declared that precious mediator, also why that mediator had to be divine and why he had to be human. But now in the continuance of our Lord's days in the Heidelberg Catechism, following the 12 articles of faith, then the instructors are given to declare with the joy of their heart the qualifications of that mediator and what else, how he saves his people. Then each time by renewal, then the instructors are given to describe how the Lord works in the heart of his children. Think of Lord's Day number 12. Why art thou called a Christian? And Lord's Day number 13, that name, our Lord. And now we have heard much of that mediator declared and described. And then I think our children, they can remember that the mediator needs to be known in his names. And then the instructors, they have described 4 names: Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, and our Lord. Then the mediator needs to be known in his offices. And then we have heard of that precious name, Christ, anointed to that threefold office, to be our chief prophet, our only high priest, and our eternal king. Then the instructors have already declared something of the natures of Christ in that name, only begotten Son, that was declared that Christ was truly divine from the never-ending eternity. And now in Lord's Day number 14, then the instructors are given to declare the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in this Lord's Day, then the instructors are also given to make a beginning concerning the states of the mediator. And what are we now to understand by the states of the mediator. Of course, that word states, that is used in different ways also in the scientific world to describe matter in its threefold state. But when we speak of the states of the mediator, that speaks of the relationship in which the Lord Jesus Christ had stood to the justice of God. And now in the state of his humiliation, because the imputation of the sins of his whole church, and then he has stood guilty before the justice of his Father, and therefore he had to suffer and he had to die. But in the state of exaltation, then he was acquitted. In the state of humiliation, then he has merited salvation. And in the state of his exaltation, then he applies that salvation. And now concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth itself, that we may place among the qualifications of the mediator to be that mediator between God and man. But now his humble birth, that was part of his humiliation, the first step. When we speak of the humiliation of Christ, then we speak of five steps as a stairs, boys and girls, and then each step that goes deeper. And now in this evening hour, then there is asked, what is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Then in this Lord's Day, then it speaks that Christ has assumed our human nature, the necessity we have heard already explained in Lord's Day number 6, that in the first place, that the justice of God must punish the same nature in which sin was committed. And to that end, Christ had assumed our human nature. Then he had to become man, that he may keep the law perfectly for his church. And then in the third place, then he had to suffer and to die in our human nature. In the fourth place, to be that near kinsman. And fifthly, to be that sympathizing high priest, as we read in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16. That God's eternal Son, we have heard in the last Lord's Day, of the only begotten Son of the Father, and now it is stressed, who is and continueth true and eternal God. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the instructors, they have said, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. Concerning that union, it is so deep, so mysterious, and so unfathomable. I read in 1 Peter 1 verse 12, that the angels have desired to look into that mystery. And with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we do not read that the angels have explained it, but that they have sung of it. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, good pleasure toward man. And now concerning that assuming of our human nature in the Old Testament, then we read different times that the second person, that he has appeared unto some of his people in different forms. It is believed in Genesis 18, When those three men have appeared unto Abram in the plains of Mamre, one the Son of God, Exodus 3, in the burning bush. Think of Daniel 3, when those three men were cast into the fiery furnace, and then in Nebuchadnezzar has seen a fourth, like unto the Son of God. But in the Old Testament, then Christ does not taken upon him a human nature, but then he has taken upon him a body that he may be visible to mankind. The angels likewise, they are spirits, but when they have appeared unto mankind different times in the Old Testaments, then they have taken upon them a body. And now concerning that uniting of two natures, then they have both retained their properties. Thus God has remained God, man has remained man. Oh, that wonderful union. Then in this next place, they were united in one person, and it was a very close union. And because of that close union, that the second person in the divine Trinity has taken upon him her human nature, then his human nature had the preeminence. That has become so visible in evidence when he is tabernacled among the children of men, concerning his wisdom, concerning his power, concerning his omniscience. Thus those two natures, they were united, and they were never separated, not even at death. Then those two natures, they remained united. At death there was a separation of body and soul. Thus the wonderful assuming of the human nature. And now our instructors took upon him the very nature of man. Oh, what a love of God, what a love of the Father, that he was willing to give his only Son, that he would assume our human nature, that he would tabernacle among the children of men. Ah, then the Lord has not given what we deserve, because then the Lord would have rained fire and brimstone. But the Lord, in his unfathomable love, then he has given his only Son, his only begotten Son, whom he loved. Then he was willing to give a Son, that he may suffer and die. Oh, who can fathom the love of the Father, but who can fathom the love of the Son, that he was willing to come upon this earth, and not for friends, but for enemies of free and sovereign grace, for a people that have turned their back upon the Lord in paradise to never return, for a people that says, as I read in the book of Job, depart from us, for in the knowledge of thy ways we have no desire. And now concerning the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, we have sung together out of Psalm 139, Psalter 383, the psalmist was given to declare, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that is true of every child which the Lord grants unto parents. But oh, it is more true that the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was given indeed to praise the Lord, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, because the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was singular, that was wonderful. And now he was of the true seed of David, the seed of the woman, promised many places in the Old Testament. Oh, in Genesis 3, verse 15, the mother promised the seed of the woman. In Genesis 12, verse 3, then the promise was made unto Abram that in his seed, and that is Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Oh, in Genesis 49, then Father Jacob, on his deathbed, in the spirit of prophecy, then he was given to point that his brethren would praise Judah, because Christ would have come out of Shiloh. Oh, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 7, and this is the blessing of Judah. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Ah, there it was pointed out that that precious Savior, that he would come from the seed of Judah. In 2 Samuel 7, there the Lord has told unto David that the Lord would build him a house. Oh, the prophets, the psalmist, they have prophesied that Christ, that he would be born of the seed of David, that he would be born of the seed of a woman. Ah, do we not read, because in our Lord's day, there is spoken of that precious Emmanuel. Isaiah 7, verse 14, for behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Ah, the devil, he has tried for 4,000 years that birth would never take place. Think of the bitter persecution that the church has endured. Think of Pharaoh, who has even cast the little boys into the Nile. Ah, that warfare between those two kingdoms. Think of David and Saul. Think of Athaliah, who was murdered, she thought, all her grandchildren. Think of that wicked Haman that has made a plot that the Jews would be destroyed from off the face of the earth. But it could never be, because the Son of God must be born. Oh, in the Council of Peace, there he has given himself. And now in the fullness of time, that he would come. And then we have heard of that birth. Oh, in the scriptures, the work of the Father, the gift of the Father in John 3, verse 16, and also in Hebrews 10, verse 5, we read that the Father has prepared him a body. It was the Son, as we have heard out of the chapter we have read together, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was the work of the Holy Spirit, where we read in Luke 1, verse 35, that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that is now the wonder of the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was a holy child, not born, conceived in a normal way, but conceived by the Holy Spirit. Oh, a Job, he has asked that solemn question in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? And then no answer was given, because in verse 5, seeing his days are appointed, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast set the bounds that he cannot pass. Ah, for 4,000 years, that has remained a question for the church. Who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Then a Job has said not one, but now in our Lord's day, declared in the scriptures, then a child was born that was so holy. And to that end, the angels were given to sing a great multitude concerning that holy birth. And to that end, he may become the mediator between God and man. Ah, concerning that Virgin Mary, then the Roman Catholic, and then they say she is holy, has begun in a slow way. So errors creep into the church. Unscriptural language, unscriptural notions, then already in the year 470, then the expression has come to be used in the church that Mary was called the Mother of God. And then a few centuries later, then it was permitted to pray to Mary. And in 1854, then the Roman Catholic Church has declared that the Virgin Mary, that she was not born in sin like all other people, but that she was born holy. But it is clear in the scripture. How can we prove, congregation, that the Virgin Mary was a sinner? Oh, think of her song. In Luke 1, verse 47, I will rejoice in my Savior. Then she was given to confess that she was also a sinner. Oh, it is true. She had much to learn how it would be possible. Thus, a birth, a holy birth by the Virgin Mary, born without sin, but yet under the consequences of sin. And then there are many proofs in the scriptures. That the Son of God, that he was man indeed. We read in Luke 2 that he had to grow in wisdom and in grace. We read in the temptation before he was tempted in the wilderness that he hungered. We read that he was weary. We read on the Lake of Galilee that he slept, he hungered, he thirsted. Thus it is very clear that he was truly human. He had a body, he had a soul. In Matthew 26, verse 38, in the Garden of Gethsemane, under his deep suffering, then he was given to say to his disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And think of the seventh crossword, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thus a wonderful birth. What is the meaning? Cannot be fathomed, cannot be understood. The instructors, according to the scriptures, then they have declared that he might be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren, in all things a sin accepted. In that way, he has become the Emmanuel for the church, God with us through that precious mediator. And it was necessary, a holy conception, a holy birth, and a holy life, that he may be that mediator. And now our second thought, the rich profit of this birth. But let us first sing a Psalter 261, 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he has wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. And what follows? 261, 1 and 2. at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the deep meaning of this birth, and now secondly, at the rich profit of this birth. And then it is the question, congregation, has a need been born in our heart for that precious child? Because boys and girls, our Lord's Day that speaks of Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, then Christ is that great physician that hath healed body and souls. And I read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then this morning we said that the church, that can be compared to a hospital which has a waiting room. And what a blessing it is in the church when that waiting room is not empty, but when there may be many among young and old. And in the hospital, in natural life, then sometime it is very full, and then we have to wait for a shorter or a longer time, and that is not so easy. And may you now ask you, congregation, are there now souls that may be in that waiting room? Oh, that have experienced their manifold sins, and that they cannot save, that they cannot cure themselves, that the case has become desperate. Oh, are there a few souls in that spiritual waiting room that have no money and that are becoming worse? Oh, that spiritual hospital, that is such a wonderful hospital, because it is all without money and without price. And now in that spiritual hospital, what a privilege and a blessing when there is, when there may be those waiting souls in a natural hospital, when we are in that waiting room of that emergency room, then we are waiting that our name may be called out, and that we may receive attention. And how difficult it is when we have to wait a long time. And when the disease is serious, then it can be that such a one goes to the desk and asks whether they have been forgotten and whether they shall receive attention. Then it can be in a natural waiting room that there are those, because then we keep close attention, that those are called that have even come later than us, and that we become greatly distressed. Are there souls that understand it? Oh, awaiting people. Oh, when we sit in the emergency room, then it is not a passive waiting, but then it is with eagerness and expectation. Then it is possible for ourselves, for our dear ones, that we go to the front and say that this one or that one is fainting and that they need immediate attention. Oh, are there such souls in my midst that have tried to save themselves, where their condition is becoming desperate? Oh, awaiting people, that many times they are found at the throne of grace, and that they are given to open their heart and given to declare their awful condition, that they are perishing. Oh, it can be in that waiting room that they are given to go to the throne of grace with the promise that they have received that the Lord will save the poor and the needy ones, And now in this Lord's Day, then the instructors with joy and gladness, then they are given to declare the riches that lieth in the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in this Lord's Day, for a needy and a poor people that have learned that they cannot save themselves, then it may be declared what the angel has declared to the shepherds, that they may bring good tidings of great joy to all people. But now a personal message, for unto you was born this day in the city of David Christ a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, in this Lord's Day, that precious child of Bethlehem may be declared in his fullness and in his riches. Oh, are there a poor needy souls, a waiting people, a begging people, a crying people, that have learned that they cannot save themselves, that they are lying under the sentence of death? Oh, then in this Lord's Day, it may be declared a Savior so full and so free that he can save to the uttermost the gift of the Father. Oh, the love and the willingness of the Son, that he was willing to humble himself so low to be born in the manger of Bethlehem. And now the instructors, what profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness thus by renewal given to stress that that child of Bethlehem, that he was a holy child. But then, congregation, tell me, if he was now such a holy child, why was he then born in such humble circumstances? Why did he have to suffer and to die? Oh, the instructor stressed that he had no original sin, and the scriptures declare no actual sin. It was because he was willing to take the sins, the transgressions of his children upon him. And then in the state of his humiliation, then a guilty one before his Father, and to that end, with his innocence and perfect holiness, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Thus the instructor speak that it is necessary for the church also concerning their original sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. David has confessed the same in Psalm 51 verse 5, that he was conceived and born in sin. Thus the instructors are given to declare that by that holy birth and the sight of God, that by that birth, that the original sins does not exclude the actual sins, but the original sin, that is the fountain, that is the root, and therefore we commit actual sins, but that it is covered in the sight of God. Ah, that is the concern of the people of God, their sins in the sight of a holy and a good-doing God. Oh, that is a people that have attempted that they may please the Lord, but they have learned more and more no fruit from this tree forevermore, forever an impossible case from their side. It cannot. But now in this Lord's Day, the birth of that precious mediator, oh, it is Emmanuel, it is God with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, then I read those solemn words in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He that knew no sin, that he was made sin, and in Galatians 3, verse 13, that he was made a curse, that his people may be saved. And now concerning that covering in our baptism form, oh, it all points to the precious things of free and sovereign grace of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the water to his blood. And then it is written, and at the last day may appear without tear before the judgment seat of Christ. What profit dost thou conceive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? And now each time by renewal we are called to examine ourselves. What profit? Let me first ask you, congregation, do we have a need for that precious child that was born in the manger of Bethlehem? We know the history. In Bethlehem, there was no need. That is also the work of the Spirit. By nature, then we are so busy ourselves to cover our sins. And even God's people, when they are left to themselves, think of a David when he has fallen into that great sin with Bathsheba, and when Uriah was murdered. Then he was busy for more than 9 months to cover up his sins. 'Tis the work of the Spirit to uncover them. Oh, young and old, do you really think that we can cover our sins, perhaps to a certain extent, before mankind? But the Lord seeth all things. Our life, our heart, is an open book. And the justice of God requires that sin must be paid for by us or by another. Are we exercised with those things, congregation? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then in this Lord's day, it is still declared a way that we may be saved, that precious name of Emmanuel. Oh, in Isaiah 7, then we read of that wicked king Ahaz, and then the king of Syria, the king of Israel, they have made an agreement together that they would drive King Ahaz from his throne. And then the prophet Isaiah has come, and then he has come with a wonderful message that they shall not succeed. But King Ahaz had other thoughts. He did not need the Lord, he thought. He would ask Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, to deliver. And then the prophet Isaiah has asked King Ahaz whether he desired a sign. And then King Ahaz said he would not tempt the Lord. Religious, sounds religious, but he did not desire a sign. Maybe there are such in our midst that are becoming very hard-hearted, not such a desire to come up to God's house, becoming more bold in sin. But now even for you, then in this evening, not desiring a sign, oh, then you have not a desire to join yourself to that true people of God. It seems to you to be such a hard and such a difficult service, maybe by your life, I hope not so many, that we say, depart from us, Lord, but then even in this evening hour in his house, though you do not desire the things of the Lord and do not desire a sign, then the Lord has given you the sign of Emmanuel, that the Father has given his Son, that he was born in the manger of Bethlehem, that his name is called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, young and old, then you can never say that you have not known that name. And in John 15, verse 22, then Christ has said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak, means no excuse for their sins. But what a precious Lord's Day for poor, for needy, for guilty sinners. His name is Emmanuel, a people that have experienced that separation, all their own guilt, and have found out that they can never restore that breach because we have sent it all away, then it may be declared in this evening that his name is Emmanuel, his holy conception, his holy birth, and also a holy life in a way that sinners may be saved. Then it is necessary to experience what a Mary has experienced, oh, in the life of a child of God. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and then they become exercised. Then they receive those birth pangs. Oh, then they are brought from that Nazareth, that secluded Nazareth, where they seek rest. And then in wonderful ways, by the leading of the Spirit, then it is the work of the Spirit that they may be brought to Bethlehem, and that they may be given to behold that Christ child, as the shepherds in the night watches, then they may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. Oh, for the people of God, with their Emmanuel, then they can live, because Christ has purchased them for body and for soul, has promised to care for them here through the time he has saved their soul. And now with that precious Emmanuel, then the church can live. Oh, then they are given to rejoice. It is necessary for the child of God that they may be led into those mysteries, and the more they may be given to see in that manger of Bethlehem, the more they may be given to rejoice. But now we have said, with that Emmanuel, oh, then they can live, but then they could also die. Oh, think of that Simeon in Luke 2, when his parents have brought the Christ child to the temple to do according to the manner of the law. Oh, with Simeon, he was a waiting soul. The Holy Spirit has promised unto him that he would not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, how long he has waited, we do not know. Oh, an encouragement for waiting souls. What an encouragement we have in the Scriptures to wait upon the Lord. Oh, that true people of God, they shall not wait in vain. The Lord has promised to remember them. And then the time has come for that Simeon, when the parents have brought the Christ child into the temple, that he was given to take him in his arms. And then he has said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord grant those blessings unto us and our children. Amen. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast given in other Lord's Day, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and yet a few words to speak. And then we humbly ask thee, well, to be the after preacher, well, to grant meditations, but well to also give examination according to what we have heard in this day and in this evening hour concerning that precious mediator, concerning his conception and concerning his birth, and to examine whether our sins have been covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wast given that we may commence in other week. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep from an unexpected and above all from an unprepared death? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Wilt thou grant health and strength for our labors where thou wast placed us? Wilt thou remember when tomorrow evening the consistory hopes to gather? Wilt thou gather with us? Wilt thou also gather the congregation together within the walls of thy house for a weekday service? May our eyes be upon thee. Lord, wilt thou now graciously bring us to our homes? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Wilt thou grant exercises concerning the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, O Lord? What thou withholdest, withhold now not the blessed administration of thy Holy Spirit. May it please thee to remember the needs in the realm of nature. Wilt thou remember man and beast? Remember us and our children. Forgive us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 450, the stanzas 1 and 2. And now may thy servant, Lord, according to thy word, depart in exaltation. My rest shall be serene, for lo, mine eyes have seen thy wonderful salvation. And what follows, Psalter 450, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.